Jenna. That was very appropriate. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming out today. It's good to see everybody. The title of my talk today is God's Will. I'm going to start off by defining will. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about God's will. And finally, I'm going to talk about God's will for our upcoming election. Well, you might as well just wade right in. Our word will is a translation from the Greek thelema, which is for desire or determination. We look it up in Merriam-Webster. It is the power of choosing one's own actions. But what the important point is that human will is not sufficient to take an idea from the idea stage into action, into implementation. If human will were enough, why, after January 1st and everybody did their New Year's resolutions, we'd all be trim and slim and we'd all be fit and buff and doing all sorts of good health things. But human will is not enough. And what it takes is it takes divine will along with that. I am reminded of the chapter on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He went into the Garden of Olives and he left the disciples and went out and knelt on his knees and prayed. And his prayer was, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. It is our finite wills. It is our finite experience that is the limitation. The infinite is God's will. And I'm not sure if this is in line with God's will or not, but I'm reminded of the story of the three guys who were on a big trip. And there were three. There was a Jewish rabbi. There was a Hindu priest. And a real hardcore Bible-thumping televangelist. And they walked and got to be evening, and they came upon a farmhouse. And so they went up to the farmhouse and knocked on the door, and the farmer says, well, I can put you guys up, but he says, there's only room in the house for two of you. One of you is going to have to go sleep in the barn. So they looked at one another, and the Hindu priest says, well, I can take the barn. That shouldn't be a problem. I'll go ahead and go into the barn. So the other two agreed, and he went out into the barn, and a few minutes later, he's back. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, but I can't stay in the barn. There's a cow in there, and cows are sacred to us, and I couldn't possibly stay in the barn. So the rabbi says, well, that's okay. He says, I ought to be able to go. You know, it shouldn't be a problem there. So the rabbi packs up, and he goes to the barn. The other two go inside. Sure enough, a few minutes later, knock, knock, knock. And the rabbi's back, and he says, God, he says, I'm sorry, I can't stay there. There's a pig in there, and it wouldn't be kosher for me to stay there. So they both look at the televangelist, and he says, okay, I'll go. So he grabs his Bible, and he heads for the barn. Sure enough, a few minutes later, knock, knock, knock at the door. Farmer opens the door. There's the pig and the cow. So what then is God's will? God's will would then be God's choosing its own action. Read a book Linda Martello Whitsitt wrote called Divine Audacity. And she said, spiritual will is not submitting my personal will to an invisible superhuman being or being told through any other person what I should or should not do, or subjugating my conscience or my consciousness to any coercive influence, including a religious dogma or imposed as a lesson or as a punishment. Spiritual will is our power of choice, commitment, and willingness. It's our power of choice. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, wrote, God's will is always perfection and good for all of God's children. God does not will suffering or imperfection in any form. So many people think that it's God's will that we are here to suffer, that we are here to pay penance. And I don't think that's God's will at all. God's will is the opposite of that. God's will, when we open up to it, is for all of the qualities of the divine. In Living the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes wrote, "To suppose that the nature of God could be toward any form of limitation is to suppose not only an inconsistency, but an impossibility. The truth is limitless. The nature of God, then, is not one of limitation or bondage, but one of freedom. Our divine inheritance is of self-sufficiency, perfection, peace, and wholeness. The nature, or will, of God is wholeness." The will of God is wholeness. So if the nature of God is wholeness, what is the will of God in this upcoming election? Now, I'll go back to the sacred reading. Cindy, that was beautiful. Thank you. In the sacred reading, she said, the will of God cannot be death. Why? Because if we assume God to be the principle of life cannot produce death without destroying itself. The will of life has only to be life. And we can say that about any one of the properties of the divine that we wish to identify. If God is the principle of clarity, there can be no confusion. If God is the principle of harmony, there can be no conflict. If God is the principle of love, there can be no hate. If God is the principle of peace, there can be no war. Now, that doesn't mean that we deny the existence of confusion or conflict or hate or war. There obviously are these things in the world, but those are not the will of God. Those are not the nature of God. Those are things that men do. These are decisions that men have made through their individual small will and produced an effect, which is, if y'all remember all my lessons for the last month, the world of effects is temporary. That is the world that the Buddhists refer to. And when we attach ourselves to those temporary conditions is when we suffer. But those aren't the nature of the divine. That's not the nature of God. That reading goes on. The will of that which is infinite can never be finite. Everything then should tend to expansion and multiplication in the divine plan. That is the will of God. It has to be beauty, truth, and harmony, as Troward said, as this is the true relationship of the whole to the parts and to the parts of the whole. We use the example of the drop of water in the ocean. Every drop of the ocean has all of the properties of the ocean within it. But obviously the drop is not the ocean. And we are the same way. We are not the infinite nature of God, but within each and every one of us are all of the qualities of God. Once again, return to the Living the Science of Mind. The nature of God, the will of God, and the power of God are one and the same thing. If the truth about God is happiness, joy, self-expression, and abundance, then this is the truth that we should seek to demonstrate in our own lives. In other words, our job here is to demonstrate those infinite truths, those things that never change, that never die, that go. And then that reading concludes, therefore we should interpret the will of God to be everything that expresses life without hurt. This seems to be a fair, logical, sane, and intelligent criterion. Anything that will enable us to express greater life, greater happiness, and greater power, so long as it does not harm anyone, must be the will of God for us. So this election is far less about the candidates or the parties or anything of the temporary outcomes than it is about us. This election is really about you and me. It's about every one of us. It's about our ability to see beyond the temporary, to see beyond the effects, and see the truth. To see the wounded child in our candidates. It's to see beyond what they say and what they do, and see the truth of who they are, which is beautiful, perfect, individualized expressions of God. Beautiful children of the divine. Now that may be difficult because of some of the human choices that have been made, some of the things that they've been done. But our job is not to judge. Our job is not to worry about what they have done. Our job is simply to see beyond that and know them as beautiful, perfect children of God. And we don't need to worry about the outcome of this election. Whatever it is, it is. And our only thing to do is to see that divine in everyone, in you and in me and in Jenna and our choir and in every single person in this room, every candidate for office, in all that we do. We see the divine, and that ripple goes out. It may start in a little center in Anchorage, Alaska, but I'll tell you, it spreads out. It spreads out to the world, our nation, our state. Each week I like to leave everybody with a takeaway, the thing that I want you to remember. And this week what I want you to remember is that there is no good-evil duality. There is not a good angel on one shoulder with a halo and a bad angel on the other shoulder with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. There is no duality. There is only one thing, and that is God. The only thing that is love working through law. And so with the awareness of love working through law, I would invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation in prayer, in love, in light, and simply know that as we turn our back on this world of effect, we turn away from effect and know the spiritual truth. We know the spiritual truth of this election is that in spite of all of the things that have been said and things have been done, that the truth is love. And as this election occurs, as whatever transpires, we claim and know that it is for the highest good for this country, for this state, for this world. And we know that that same principle works in all of our affairs. We know that there is only good unfolding in our lives. We know that behind the appearance of dis-ease, there is a blueprint of perfection within the DNA and within the cells, within the atoms, within the subatomic particles of our bodies, an infinite intelligence which knows how to divide, how to operate, how to make perfect that which appears to be less than perfect. And so it is that perfection that I claim now for anyone who is suffering from the appearance of illness or disease. This may not be a cure, but there is a healing, a powerful healing going on right now. I also speak my word for anyone who is experiencing the appearance of lack and limitation, financial challenges. I simply know that we live in an abundant universe, that we are provided for. No one is going to freeze tonight. No one is going to go to bed hungry tonight. The truth is that we live in a totally abundant universe, and we just open ourselves up. And as we open up, the heavens supply. The windows of heaven open and pour us out a blessing as much as we can possibly accept. And lastly, I speak my word for anyone who is experiencing a challenge in relationships. Makes no difference if it's a romantic relationship, family relationship, work relationship, friendship. It makes no difference because it's all the same. It is all love. As individualized expressions of God, as children of God, as we come together, regardless of our political beliefs, regardless of who is right or wrong, in judgment in our own eyes, at our core, we are beings of God and we are beings of love. And we just let that love reach out and touch one another. That love is greater than all appearances. That love is greater than all dissatisfaction, confusion, confrontation. And so we just sit back and allow that love to flow. We allow that love to be. And we give thanks. We give thanks for the health. We give thanks for the clarity. We give thanks for the abundance. And we give thanks for the very love of God. And so it's with gratitude in our heart that I release these words, the working of law that always says yes. We let it go. We let it be. And so it is.